Right. Father, Lord, we're here on this day, this day on which all creation depends. This moment that is the kind of like the hinge around which all of history turns. Nothing has happened in the history of the world that is more important, that is more significant, that is more life-changing and history-changing than what we celebrate here today. The resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, it's just too big. It is too big for us to get our heads around. And we get that, Lord. But at the same time, we come and say, can you teach us something? You know, we might not understand it all. We might not experience everything that it means here today. But Lord, can you give us something? Give us a taste. Give us the starter in the meal. Something that we can get our heads around, something we can understand, something that we can experience, that just helps us to look forward to kind of what's coming even later. So Lord, please help us as we try to make sense of some of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That didn't sound like a very optimistic prayer, did it? It's like, oh no, it's gonna be good. Alright, so you know the way we talk about the human race? Yeah, okay. Tough. I'm not the only resurrection needed this morning by the looks of it. Alright, you know, we talk about the human race. That's pretty careless as Christians. It's one of those things where, you know, everybody talks about the human race. But as Christians, really, we should know better. We should know better because, in fact, there are two human races. There are two humanities that coexist within history. They're on very, very different trajectories. All right, to use the language of our reading this morning, there is a humanity that is in Adam, and there is a humanity that is in Christ. And Paul's like, you know, depending on which humanity you're in, your experience of being human and your future as a human are very, very different. Very different indeed. So as in Adam, all die. So everybody who is in Adam's humanity, as it were, the trajectory on that is not good. The destiny of that is death. Death in the fullest sense of the word. And if we're in Christ, though, that's a different humanity. All right, and it's important we understand that. Even as Christians, it's important we understand that. You know, being a Christian is not just, okay, you go to church, or you have a few kind of weird ideas or beliefs, or you try to be a good person or something like that. That's not what Christianity is about. Okay? Christianity is about being part of a whole new humanity. Christianity is about being put on a completely different trajectory. It's about aiming towards a totally different destination. Yeah, don't minimize being a Christian. Alright, don't think of it as less than it is. Alright, it's completely different. The Apostle Paul writes in his second letter that he writes to the church at Corinth, he says, when somebody's in Christ, they're a new creation. Right? The old is gone. The new has come. Right, it's categorically different. Right, and the humanity that is in Adam is on this trajectory into death, but the humanity that is in Christ is on a trajectory into life, and not life as we know it in this age, where it's kind of overshadowed by suffering and by sickness and by sin and by death. No, a very different kind of life. Now the problem is we don't start from a place of neutrality. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if we were sort of, alright, here's life in Adam, here's human Adam humanity, and here's Christ's humanity over here. Alright, and I'm in the middle, and I kind of can I can sort of stand there and go, which one shall I go for? I don't know, I think I'll choose this one, or I think I'll choose that one. But that's not how it works. Alright, how it works is, we're all born into the Adam humanity. Everybody starts there. And it's only when you become a Christian that you transition out of Adam's humanity and out of the trajectory that Adam's humanity is on into this new humanity that is, that's in Christ, that's been pioneered by Christ, that's been kind of forged by Christ. We're in this new humanity now. We're on a different trajectory into a different creation and into a new life. All right, now the problem is, like, even as Christians, it's really hard for us to get our head around that, because everything that we know about human life is sort of rooted in the old Adam humanity. Because actually, that's, with one exception, that's all our world has ever known. Alright? It's all we've ever seen. We've only ever seen Adam humanity. So our whole experience, the horizons, if you like, of our vision of what it means to be a human being, what it means to live as a human, it's all shaped and informed by this Adam humanity. It's like we're caught on this island and we can't sort of see past the horizon into anything different. It's like in the old days when they used to have these maps, didn't they, where you know, you'd have the bit where you lived and then everything around that would be sort of sea, filled with sea monsters, and they'd write things like, here be dragons and stuff like that. You know? And it's not because they'd been there and discovered that there were dragons. Right? It's because they hadn't been there. They didn't know what was beyond the horizons. Right? They knew their bit of the world, and that was all they could see. And so that's what they're on. With the maps, there was nothing beyond that, except their worst fears. And it turns out that might be quite a good way of thinking about Adam humanity. Because, like, on these old maps, you know, the dragons and stuff were mythical. They were kind of people's fears about the unknown. But it turns out, when you read the Bible, that actually that Adam humanity is in fact encircled by and entrapped by a dragon. The old serpent, the ancient serpent, the devil. And that humanity is entrapped within, it's, you know, sin and death. And there's no way out of it. There's no way past it. Like, you know, none of us can figure out how to live in this world in a way that means we don't end up dying. It's just the way this world is. It's like we're entombed. Adam humanity, we live our whole life, our whole world in this world of death and this world of decay and this world of degeneration, this world of sin and suffering and sorrow and death. And we can't see past it. We can't get out of it. All right. And the thing that the Bible teaches us is we can't get out of it. We need somebody to come into that from outside. And that's what we remember on Good Friday, right? That's what we were thinking about a couple of days ago. When we think about Jesus on Calvary, we're thinking about, you know, not just another death. All right, what we've got in mind is something much bigger than that. This is somebody who has come into our world from outside. All right, from beyond the borders, from beyond the horizons of this world. And he's come into this world, and he has lived in this world, and he is dying in this world, and he is entering into death at its most profound level. All right? He's entering into death as it affects every level of human experience. He's not just dying physically, but he's dying spiritually as well. But of course, we know this isn't the end, right? We started our service here. We started our service at the cross. But we know the service doesn't finish at the cross. The story carries on. Jesus enters into death, not as a victim, right? Not as somebody helpless, not somebody who's going into death against their will. Remember, he bows his head, he gives up his spirit, he steps into death willingly. He steps into death as a warrior. He steps into death to do battle with death, to conquer death, to vanquish death, to triumph over death. He steps into death to slay the dragon. And years and years and years ago, like just in the time just after the apostles finished writing the Bible, there was a bunch of brilliant, brilliant church leaders and bishops and theologians who really kind of started to take the writing of the apostles and explain what they mean. And one of them, talking about this thing that's happening in the resurrection, says it's like a needle piercing a cloth. Right? You see, we often talk about Jesus coming back from the dead. Right? That is not true. Yeah, put that on a bookmark and stick it on your fridge. Jesus did not come back from the dead. You heard it here first. All right? Let me explain that. Lazarus came back from the dead. All right? Lazarus went into death and came back out again. All right? On the same side. He came back into this world of sin and suffering and sorrow. He came back into this world of death. So when he comes out of the tomb, the thing the Bible says about him is he's still wearing his grave clothes. Because he's coming back out, but he's still coming back out into this world of death. And poor bloke, he had to go through the whole dying thing all over again. Right? But Jesus doesn't come back from the dead. Right? He doesn't come back into this world of death. Jesus goes into death, he goes through death, and he goes out the other side of death into a new creation, into a new way of life that is no longer overshadowed by death, what the Bible calls eternal or everlasting life. He didn't come back into this world to be subject to sin and suffering and decay and death again. He goes through and he brings a new creation, a new way of life into being. Now, the brilliant thing about this analogy is, it's not just the needle that goes through death, that goes through the fabric of death, pierces the fabric of death and comes out the other side. All right? Because normal people who are sticking needles into cloth, they've usually attached some thread to the needle first. So when the needle goes through, what also comes through? The thread. Alright, and this is Paul's point in our reading this morning. Alright? It's not just Christ who goes through into this new creation, into this new life in his resurrection. He's like the needle piercing the cloth of death, the fabric of death, and going through death into the new creation. And Paul says, yeah, and he's going to take the church with him. He's going to take everyone who's following him, everyone who is believing in him, everyone who has kind of been a disciple of his, those who belong to him, they get pulled through death as well and out the other side into this new creation. Alright? Now, I am a thoroughly 21st century kind of guy, which means, of course, I'm deeply in touch with my emotions, both of them. it does mean that I was present at the birth of all four of my kids. I don't see what all the fuss is about to be. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Oh my goodness, I could have gotten in a lot of trouble there very quickly. All right. No, I was there. All right. Four times. The first time I was eating a steak sandwich from Subway, which is something Liz has never let me forget. All right. I learned quickly after that. All right. One of the things that I learned though is that the magic words, right, the thing that everybody is waiting to hear is, I can see the head. All right? Not because the head is a particularly attractive thing. Trust me, it's not. But, but because once the head is out, what's going to come out next? Hopefully, the body. All right? Okay. So it's like, we can see the head. Brilliant. It's almost over. Out comes the body. All right. So, And this is it. Like, get away in the Bible, Jesus is called the head, and the church is called the body of Christ. Right? The head has already been born into the new creation. We can see the head. Right. The body is going to follow. The church will go through death after Christ and into the new creation. You see, the thing is, since the resurrection of Jesus, there is a way out. There is a way out of this world of sin and death. It is the way that has been forged, that has been pioneered by Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus says, follow me. It's like quite literal. Follow him. We follow him in life. We follow him into death. We follow him through death. And we follow him out the other side of death into new life. Alright? That's Paul saying. It's like, yes, the end will come. First Christ, then those who belong to him. Christ is the first fruits. The main harvest, if you like, the church, is going to go through death after him and into that same new creation. And that it can look intimidating. I get that. It can look intimidating to follow Jesus. But it really doesn't have to be. You know, because there's nothing that can stop you. There is nothing that will oppose you. There is no obstacle in your way that will stop you following Christ once you have set out on that road. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what baggage you're bringing into this. It will not stop you following Christ into the new creation. How can I be so sure? Because Paul's like, look, Jesus won. Right? He won. All the enemies, everything in this world, the stuff that we see, the stuff we don't see, that opposes his work, that opposes his end game, it's gone. It's dealt with. It is being ruled over by him. He is not going to allow it to stop you following him through life, through death, and into everlasting life. And we'll preach through 1 Corinthians sometimes, and we'll take this apart properly. But the big picture stuff here is very simply this, that there is this time at the end when this is all coming actually to be, when Jesus gives everything back to his Father. That's such an amazing thing. You know, it's like Jesus was sent into this world to redeem it. He was sent into this world to restore it. He was sent into this world to reconcile it to God. He was sent into this world to deal with the reality of sin, to deal with the reality of death, and the way in which that spoiled everything. He was sent into this world to renew all things. And what this passage is saying is, there is a day when he will finish that work and he will give this world back to the Father. He said, well, everything you sent me to do, I have done it and here it is. And if we have followed him, we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of that renewed, restored, redeemed, reconciled reality. We get to live in a world, not like this one, but a world that is shaped by the policies of the kingdom of God. We get to live in a world where there is no darkness, only light. Where there is no death, only life. Where there is no sin, only holiness and purity and righteousness. A world where there is no sickness, but only health and strength. A world where there is no selfishness or cruelty or brutality. A world where there is no hunger or thirst. A world that works the way God wants it to. Jesus says, if you want to be a part of that world, then come and follow me. Come and follow me. See, there are two humanities. There is the humanity that is caught in this world. The humanity that is, this world is all they have. And they are following the same trajectory of this world into death. But there's this other humanity. Humanity that is in Christ. That sees a way out. And is taking it. Now, like I said, the problem is this humanity that's entombed in this world
It's all we know.
And it looks pretty compelling sometimes. But it's a forgery. It's a fake. It's a shadow, a ghost of what human life is supposed to be. Problem is, it's the only life we've known. And suddenly we're taken out of this and we're put into this whole new humanity that works in a completely different way. And we kind of have to learn, how do we move from one to the other? How do we learn how to live as a part of this new humanity? Well, if your job is working with counterfeit money, you know, your job is to identify it and to recognize it. You don't spend all your time studying the counterfeit money. Right? You spend your time studying the genuine article, the real thing, the authentic thing, so that when you see counterfeit, you recognize it for what it is. Right? And this is how we need to live in this world. All right? There's this counterfeit humanity. And it's so compelling and it's so seductive. I mean, a forged note is supposed to fool you. It looks like the real thing. But it's not. And you only recognize that when you put it next to the real thing. And this is the thing. We need to be so focused on the one example of true humanity that we've ever had. The person of Jesus Christ. And as we study Him and focus on Him and learn to recognize what true, authentic humanity looks like, we begin to recognize the counterfeit. We begin to recognize the forgery and the fake for what it is. We're on one of these two trajectories. Let me just say, it would be remiss of me not to do this, wouldn't it? If you are not following Christ, you need to understand that you're not in a position of neutrality. You need to understand that you are part of a humanity, you're part of a trajectory that is inevitably heading towards death. You need to understand that there is a way out. And you need to understand that Jesus is standing here today inviting you to follow Him. To become part of that new humanity. And to begin to learn to live in accordance with that new humanity. That's what Christianity is. It's not just kind of having religion for a hobby. It's not just believing a few kind of weird ideas. Not just about morality or being good. Christianity is about stepping out of one humanity and into another. Learning to recognize what that humanity is and to begin to be able to live that humanity. And we can live it. We can live it. It's hard. It's hard to live the resurrection humanity. But we can do it. And let me just give you a picture. I'll finish with this. Let me give you this picture that will help you see how we can live the life, this new humanity that Jesus has given us. All right. Imagine somebody who's just been discharged from the army. All right. They signed up. They did their 21 years commission. And they've literally signed their papers and they are walking across the parade ground towards the way out, towards the exit door. They're walking across the parade ground back onto Civvy Street. And as this guy's walking across the parade ground, he hears his old CEO, his old officer, commanding officer, barking orders. Now, for 21 years, he has been trained to recognize that when the order is spoken, when the order comes, you don't question it, you obey it. Right now. So as he's walking across the parade ground, he's still on MOD property. Okay, he's still there. And he's hearing this order. This is what you must do. And every instinct in him that has been trained and honed over the last 2 decades, everything in him wants to jump and do what he is being commanded to do. But actually, he's not in the army anymore. He's not in that way of life. He's still on MOD property, but he's not in that way of life. He doesn't have to do what that old way of life tells him to do. Because he's on Civvy Street now. So even though everything in him, it's like, I've got to do it. It's like, no, actually, I don't have to. You see, that's what happens when we leave old Adam humanity and step into Christ humanity. We still live in this world. We're still on the parade ground. We're still on the property, if you like, of this world. But we're not a part of it anymore. We're not a part of that humanity anymore. And so when that whole way of life that is encased in death comes to us and tells us, this is how you must live. This is who you must be. This is what you must do. This is how you must think. Everything in us, because it's all we've ever known, everything in us will like, oh, jump, yeah, we want to do that, we want to be a part of that. We need to remind ourselves, no. We're not in that humanity anymore. We're not in that world. We are in a different humanity. And we live in a different way. We need to learn to focus on Jesus, look at authentic humanity, see what that life looks like, remember who it is we're following. We're walking across the parade ground to the way out. Remember who we are. Remember whose we are. Remember where we belong. Remember to whom we belong. Remember which humanity we are a part of. The cross pulled us out of the old humanity. The resurrection brings us into the new one. Happy Easter. Happy Easter.